Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fike Media Network. Happy Monday to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE with our review of NXT Heatwave going down live last night from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you, for the first time in a while, not salty Scott Young, but tonight, this morning, for your listening pleasure, I bring to you Perky Scott Young. Welcome back, Perky. Long time no see.
Thank you, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. And yes, it's been a long, long time coming, but I knew a change was going to come. And this PLE right here was that change. Man, we were talking about it off air. This was absolutely, I thoroughly enjoyed this show. I've seen some, you know, some minor detractors here and there, but I thought this was a really, really good show.
I thought so too. I actually made the bold declaration on Twitter that this was the best NXT show since NXT TakeOver Portland back in February 2020, right before the pandemic hit, when they were at the Moda Center, when they had a packed arena. And I thought, like, this show, five matches from the top to the bottom, every match delivered in its own way. And I'm very thankful that they were in an arena and not like the UFC Apex like they were a month ago for Battleground. Like, you need a show like this in front of a crowd like the Toronto crowd that could appreciate what they were seeing as hardcore WWE wrestling fans. We got that last night via a well-booked show that blew me away. I mean, I've had my love and hate relationship with NXT, the television show. Some weeks are very good, some weeks are off. The build up to the show was so. And people did have the rightful complaint of saying, can this card measure up to cards pass for NXT? Can it measure up to Money in the Bank? I can safely say this show, in a rarity which has not happened in a very long time, this PLE from NXT absolutely cleared Money in the Bank from Saturday night without question.
Oh yeah, I think that's without a doubt. I think the conversation that needs to start having is, you know, a lot of these women and men that we're putting out there, Sol Ruka, Kalani, Oba, like, it's not like these are Evans. Like, these are not, you know, 10, 15 year veterans out here. These are rooks. Evans got a little bit of hair on his chest. You know, he's been in the game a little bit. But as far as those ladies and Oba, like, they're being put in big spots. And the fact that they're able to just come out on the other side and they're given these opportunities, I don't think that's something that should be overlooked. Like, this, you know, quote unquote experiment, the notion that the PC isn't working, that the PC doesn't work, that the PC doesn't produce wrestlers, it's thrown out the window. And every PLE, we're seeing different people. Even if you want to go back to NXT this week, if we want to, you know, keep it a buck, Jada and Meechan put on a hell of a match on NXT. So, like, they've got these young women and men, and honestly, it's real strong on the women's side, but they've got these wrestlers who are in the pipeline ready to go. And I think it's a testament to what HBK's done down there. I think he's done a fabulous job with the young talent as far as putting them in big positions. Let's not forget about the opening tag match as well. A lot of young talent, man, and I think they're all stepping up to the plate.
They really are. And it's a testament to, as you said, Shawn Michaels and the trainers down in Orlando. And I think with him being a full on hands on overseer of what's going on, there's no interference from people that are trying to tell you this is what a star looks like. And that's how a star should be. He's in the trenches every day down there evaluating talent and really coaching them up and telling them, hey, take this advice, take this, do this, be yourself above all else. And we see the results on TV. I think my only critique for HBK recently is the parade of blondes that are very carbon copy of each other, that have a similar looking background that we see a lot on television this week. There needs to be some kind of variety in terms of who are these ladies? How can they stand out? Because as we see on the card, there is a plethora of ladies out there that has their own identity to stand out in a good way. And I want that to break through for the parade of blondes we see every Tuesday. I think that's the one drawback for me, that there is no distinct personalities there. It's all kind of like a Thea Hale hybrid factory of lookalikes and clones at the present moment.
Yeah, I didn't really notice that until you said it. I think NXT, for me, I think NXT is one of the more diverse shows out there. But now that you say it, there absolutely are the carbon copies. Outcasts, they got their groupie. So, you know, everybody's got somebody who's a Thea Hale in some version. So, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yes. Otherwise, the diversity is everything. But that one thing I'm noticing on Tuesday, that one line of blondes, like, this is a lot. And they kind of blend into each other. And I want them to have their own personalities. At some point, Carmen Petrovic is the exception to the rule because she stands out. And even her tag team match with Ariana Grace versus JC Jane and Jasmine Nix, that was actually a really good match. And I thought that was the best performance I've seen from Carmen and Ariana to date. Maybe it was because they were in Toronto, their hometown, but they definitely had their boots on last night working, and they had a very impressive outing and showing. They're going to have a match on Tuesday's NXT because Ariana Grace wanted to take credit for the victory over Carmen. So they'll battle it out. Battle of the Six going down on Tuesday. But overall, I thought the pre-show match was even better than usual as well.
Yeah, it was. I think that's more of a testament to the crowd. But yeah, I mean, especially, you know, not grading on a curve, but if you were grading on a curve, you would give them an excellent grade. But even if you're not, it was a fine tag match.
Yes, very much so. So now let's dive into the main card for NXT Heatwave going down live from Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We kick things off with the NXT North American Championship match between the challenger Wesley and the champion Obafemi. And if Wesley wins, he'll win back the championship he never truly lost. But if he does not win, he can never challenge for the NXT North American Championship as long as Obafemi is the champion. I thought this match was outstanding. Obafemi has got next. He is one of the best big men WWE has found to date. Presence for days. The dance of the ring was everything. But the things he can do when he tossed Wesley up like pizza dough in the sky and dropped him with the flip and turn on the mat, that was incredible. The bumps Wesley took early on were great to really sell the back injury, selling this guy is bigger and stronger than me. How can I combat that? But he used his speed and agility down the stretch to ground Obafemi. He hit a poison run out of nowhere for a very close near fall. A lot of near moments there, but ultimately Obafemi came through, dropped Wesley with a powerbomb to retain the North American Championship. A great opener. The crowd was into it, and Obafemi continues to impress. And I have seen the fantasy match booking by some on the timeline that is salivating at the thought of maybe 3 to 5 years down the road, we could see Obafemi versus Gunther. And that would be spectacular when that day comes.
Yeah, this was a really, really good match. I thought they were a little overambitious in certain spots, which is fine. Like I'm not one that's gonna knock you for being overly ambitious. I mean, especially if it's not falling to pieces. Like the power bomb spot that was supposed to go into the X Factor, Like there was different things like that. But yeah, we're talking about a guy who has what, 30 matches under his belt, maybe, in his career. I for sure under 50. Like we're for sure talking under 50 matches. I think they've done a great job with him. You know, we got this TNA crossover. Moose is over there talking about, you know, Oba. Oba's like, you know, Moose is a guy. Like, this is what they've got in this pipeline, man, is special. You talk about him versus Gunther. I'm trying to see, you know, him versus Braun. You know, I wouldn't mind Braun coming back and being like, yo, you the new big guy on the block. What's up? So, yeah, this is a really good match. This is going to get 3¾ F-25s. Because that wasn't an F-5 that it gave Wesley. That was an F-25. So 3¾ F-25s.
I agree. That was a very strong match. The botch in the corner, I can forgive. It was ambitious of them to go there. Did not quite execute the move, but they kept going. They didn't lose their spot. They didn't freak out whatsoever. But Wesley is an amazing talent, and he was taxed to really help give Obafemi the match of his career so far in a singles match. And they went out there and they delivered. Like, Wesley is a special guy that can go out there and just deliver. My only critique recently was some whining too much about, this is my last chance, I need this, blah, 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 whatever. But in terms of in the ring, bell to bell, this guy is special. And he was there for every spot. He took every bump and he had his moments that he could have won the championship back, fell a little bit short. Now he's got to think about what's next for him. He's going to talk about it on Tuesday's NXT. But overall, I thought this is a great opener to a show that was off and running as we get to another NXT North American Championship match on the women's side. It was Kalani Jordan, the champion, versus Sol Ruka. I was concerned going into this match because of the experience level, but my goodness, it reminded me of the sneaky match Io Shirai, now Io Sky, and Candice LeRae had in Toronto several years ago, way back in 2019, a match that on television didn't have a lot of heat, but they went in that ring and they woke up a crowd and they went out there and put on a show. Sol Ruka, Kalani Jordan, their level of experience is noted, but they went out there and they put on a show. And I approve of flippy shit in this case. We had flips. We had wrestling. We had great near falls. We had moonsaults. We had another before seen 450 clothesline courtesy of Sol Ruka to Kalani Jordan. I was in awe of that. I've never seen it before a day in my life. So Sol Ruka is built different. We had two versions of Poison Rana's from Kalani Jordan, the traditional one, and from the top rope as well before hitting the split-legged moonsault on Sol Ruka to retain the Women's North American Championship. I thought this match exceeded every expectation, the trust level of HBK to have these ladies go out there and deliver. Yes, it was choreographed. Who cares? They went out there and they delivered, had the crowd engaged. And when they run this back with more experience, when they clean up everything, this match on the main roster is going to blow people's minds, period.
I will say this about Sol Ruka. By the way, I told my wife that she was black and I just got real big like this. And I was like, you do know you're married to me, right? You've seen me, right? So don't be too surprised. Sol Ruka, if she was on the independent scene doing this type of stuff, having the Soul Snatcher as her finisher, doing 450 clotheslines, because who knows what type of crazy stuff she would be doing if she was just an independent wrestler trying to make a name for herself on the come up, she would be the biggest thing on the indies. She would be a internet sensation, just meme after meme, gif after gif of her if she was there, if she was anywhere except WWE NXT, because the stuff that she does on a weekly basis, the ways that she pulls out the Soul Snatcher, like you said, the 450 clothesline, never seen it before. I'm sure it's been done. I've never seen it before. And I've certainly never seen a woman wrestler do it. I've never seen a woman do it. And the way that they're just casually trading springboards. I love the beginning of the match where they're countering each other's moves. And when they finally do hit each of their signature moves, it's on a completely different way than you would expect. Like when Kalani went for her move the first time, when she went for kind of that rebound she does off the ropes into the arm drag, the first one she missed, Sol Ruka did a flip out of it. The second one, she came at a completely different angle and caught her off. So just the way that they were playing off of the counters, countering a counter. I loved all that. And you talk about the flippy stuff. To me, this wasn't flippy stuff because what they were doing was counters. I don't have a problem with somebody is when they flip you around and you're flipping to get out of it. That to me is not like that's not a problem to me. Like that's not an issue because you're doing it for a purpose. You're not just doing a backflip just to do a backflip. You're not, you know what I'm saying? You're doing it for a purpose to make movement, to make a counter, to get your balance back. So what they were doing to me, everything made sense. And once you got into the heat of the match, a lot of it was like, oh my goodness, if they didn't hit that, it would have been catastrophic. You know, that move would have been big. So I thought it wasn't the best match of the night for me, but I thought this was by far the most impressive match of the entire weekend. When you, like you said, when you talk about the experience level and the spot that they were put in, man, I was down on Kalani, but I'm going to tell you what. She has stepped up to the plate and has knocked it out the park every time she has been out there since she's been champion. It's been a small sample size, but what we've gotten, man, they've picked the right one. And again, the women in that pool, man, that pool that's coming up, they got something special. The women in NXT is like just the pipeline that they have. It's crazy.
It really is. And I always have enjoyed Kalani Jordan. I think the only thing that took me aback was her winning, because the buildup was like, where was it on TV? Because we saw it built up like, you know, a Lashers Deadline, like there's a standout performance. There's a breakthrough. Let's keep it going. And it kind of stopped for a little bit. Then we kind of rushed ahead when she won the championship last month. So this match proved to me like, yeah, they made the right decision. Like she is ready for this moment and she's going to get better. As I said, if you give her this belt, the test is, can she rack up wins and have impressive defenses? So far, so great. And this was her finest performance to date. And I'm going to be very bold in saying that Kalani and Sol Ruka, what we saw tonight is going to lead to quite the evolution of women's wrestling in terms of what women are going to be able to do in the ring on the main roster in the next 2 to 3 years. This was extraordinary work in terms of this was different. The flash, the agility, the execution of it. When they smooth out the kinks, when they get it smoothed out with more experience, this match, when they run it back, it's going to hit so much differently. But it's like we're on the cusp of something very special in wrestling in general. And they're the blueprint. We're going to look back on this match in like 5 years and say they were about to start a new trend of how women's wrestling is going to be for the next 10 years.
Save big on all your back to school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3 pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm gonna give you a little pushback on that just because I say this. There's not a lot of people, not just women, people who are as athletic as those two. Like Sol Ruka is a genetic freak on every level. So that's the only pushback, is that like I thought this was just a perfect storm of athletes. Like Kalani's a hell of an athlete herself, and Sol Ruka is 10 times the athlete she is. I just, you know, I don't know a lot of women that are as athletic as Sol Ruka, who can do the things that she can do on a, just a nightly basis. And Kalani, I think she's her base is so much better than what Sol Ruka is right now. And she's got a little bit of the high flying. I don't know if you got two women who are as athletic and good as they are right now, especially in WWE. At this stage in their career. Let me say that. There's definitely some out there, but not at this stage in their career.
Yeah, it's definitely scary, but I think they're two of a kind in that case. Like, they do have something very unique they're going to bring to the table, but I think it's also going to be like a new sign of how things are going to go for the future. They won't be built like Kalani and Sol Ruka. Good luck to who comes next after them, but I think it does set a template for what can be. I think the style is going to change. You will have to, because they're insane in the best possible way. We do have a Tiffany Stratton on the main roster. That's the X factor too, as well. So that is something to definitely keep our eyes out on.
No, you're right. You got Tiffany, Bianca, but Sol Ruka, man. Like I've never seen that. Like I've never seen that at 450 and then to be able to just get it on your feet and hit that clothesline. I'm gonna give this match, and I'm probably overrating it, but I thought this match was great. I'm gonna give it 4.25, 450 clotheslines.
I agree. I'm overrating it too. I don't care. It was a great match. I was highly entertained. I was blown away by a lot of what they did. Even the block X factor that Kalani just stood up on was crazy as well. So
yes,
all of it. I really enjoyed the match. Great work by both ladies. As we get to my favorite match of the night, the best match of the night, it was Nathan Fraser and Axiom versus Chase Hughes, Andre Chase, and Duke Hudson for the NXT Tag Team Championships. My God, this match was incredible. Nathan and Axiom are already like the best. I love them. And as we've been seeing on TV recently, there is teased tension. Nathan is trying to go big time, trying to chase after multiple championships on multiple shows. He's late to meet his tag team partner to get his match ready to go. And you kind of feel the tension coming. It's boiling over. And we know they're going to have a great feud when the day comes. But they were ready to go in this tag team match against Duke Hudson and Andre Chase. Duke Hudson, the hot tag guy, goes crazy, running wild, just great. Great near falls. Crowd is into it. Andre Chase, don't let the sweater fool you. This guy goes out there and wrestles. He's a technician. He can fly. And the highlight of this match for me was when Axiom and Nathan Fraser hit their tandem finisher on Duke Hudson, and Andre Chase breaks up the tag by launching off the back of Nathan Fraser and landing a Canadian Destroyer on Axiom. Crowd jumps up. They go crazy. Match is not over. We have like moments when you're thinking Chase Hughes going to win, because we have Nathan Fraser accidentally super kick Axiom towards the end of this match. No dice there, but ultimately it does come down to Axiom and Nathan getting the win in the end in a very strong match. One of the best matches I've seen this year in WWE. The match of the weekend is clearing just a touch the women's Money in the Bank ladder match the night before. But my God, what a match by all four guys. Tremendous.
This was a great match. Best tag team match in NXT probably all year. Everything you laid out was perfect. The German from the apron to the inside of the ring. Duke Hudson, just when he was running wild, man, he hit my man hit a Stratisfaction. my man came out there and hit a Stratisfaction. Shout out to Trish. I don't know if that was an ode or if he's about to start putting that in the repertoire, but I'm gonna tell you what, I did not expect to see that man doing a handstand on the ropes. I'm gonna just tell you that. That was the last thing on my bingo card. For my money, I've talked about it before. Axiom and Nathan Fraser remind me so much of London and Kendrick. Just their style, their speed. they just they're wrestling at a completely different pace than everybody else. I don't want the breakup. I hope it never comes, because there are main roster teams. I want to see them versus DIY. Like I want to see that match. I want to see them versus Judgment Day. Like, I think that would be a really good match. Finn and JD, I think they'd be a ton of fun. Like, they might be the best team in WWE right now. And I don't think that would be a crazy thing to say. They can do it all. Like, the speed, when they hit the stereo dives, one at right after the other. Like, soon as the other one hits, you turn the camera, here comes the other one. You turn the camera, here comes the other one. They hit four or five dives in a row, just bam, 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 nonstop action. This is going to get, I'm going to give this 4.5 Phoenix splashes for this match. I thought this was a tremendous match, best match of the weekend for me, for WWE, for sure. And the crowd responded accordingly. And you talked about that Canadian Destroyer from Andre Chase was just beautifully done. Break up the pin. Nobody will have to get fined or talked to from Triple H or Shawn Michaels about it afterwards.
No, it's a brand new day in WWE. You will not be fined $100,000 for doing that. So congratulations. I will go an extra quarter, 4¾ Phoenix splashes for this match. I love the match so much. Duke Hudson and his thick thighs doing Stratisfaction in the corner. Like, that's automatic quarter right there. That's incredible by him.
Automatic quarter.
It was Trish Stratus approved. Mother Stratus said she approves of the move on Twitter. And Thea told Duke, like, Mother Stratus says she loves it. So keep doing it. So I'm here for it. Like, Duke is a big guy that can go. And when you let that guy cook, he's going to cook hard. And Andre Chase, we've already seen this guy on television and at PLE's ball out. And he did so last night once again. And Axiom and Nathan Fraser, I agree with you. They are the best tag team in WWE today. Speed, agility, technique, talent across the board. Do I want them to break up? No. But I see the tea leaves. I see things brewing. I sense something is going to go down eventually. But let's slow burn it, as you said. I think there's a lot of dream matches in the main roster. That would be amazing for them. And then we could do whatever they're going to do. But until then, let them continue to be the best damn tag team going. And they did it again. And they delivered an absolute amazing match in Toronto. Fantastic title defense by Axiom and Nathan Fraser, as always. As we get to another really good match, it was Roxanne Perez, the reigning defending NXT Women's Champion, versus Lola Vice. And we saw a promo exchange on Tuesday, and that had me turn the corner on Lola, because I think they figured it out. She's supposed to be a babyface. There it is. Likeable, smiling, throwing ass, shaking. Do what you got to do, girl. Have fun and whoop ass. That's what you do. And they're finally letting her do it. When you humanize the character, you tell a story that resonates with people, they connect. And the crowd was hot. They were split down the middle. Half the crowd was rooting for Lola. The other half was rooting for Roxanne. And Roxanne has fully embraced being a heel. It's not about pulling faces. You got to embody being the bad girl. And she has done that. This match was really good. I thought they went out there and put on a hell of a match. Great psychology when Lola Vice smashed her hand against the ring post, and that is her meal ticket to hitting her finisher. And that was a weak spot that allowed Roxanne to pounce, went after that hand throughout the match, knowing that the effect and the power of that hit is going to be lessened due to it being injured. But Lola came through with kicks, hit her fist on Roxanne, but Roxanne was able to run out the ring to avoid getting covered for the pinfall. And then Roxanne just freaking snapped. She like hit 55 pop rocks on Lola Vice, and Lola kept kicking out. The resiliency of this woman not to just tap, not to just take the pin. She was a fighter through and through, because Roxanne said on Tuesday, like, we're going to wrestle and I'm going to beat you in a wrestling match, and I'm going to beat you with a wrestling move. But after the fourth pop rocks, it didn't quite hit. She didn't lose track at all. She just yanked Lola, hit Pop Rocks number 5, and got the win to retain the NXT Women's Championship. I thought this was a really strong match. This was Lola Vice's best match to date. And Roxanne Perez, I think that she's one of the best women's champions in the business today. She's there for every spot. She's a ring general out there, and she just brings it every time. And last night was no different.
First off, cheddar biscuits for Lola Vice. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I thought this was, I thought we got a little egregious at the end. I think five pop rocks is a bit much, especially I unnecessarily need to kick out of two. She should have just had her foot under the ropes. I think that would have worked a lot better. But I think her kicking out of two pop rocks was crazy. And then for, like, I thought Roxanne, I did like Roxanne hitting the three after the second kick out makes sense, but I just, why is she kicking out of two rock pop rocks? Like, that's completely unnecessary. Not the place for it. She has not been built up to a point where she needs to be kicking out of finishers like that, but that's a minor gripe. The match was strong. Lola as the babyface is strong. Where she goes next is going to be a curious to see. I thought the video package on her was really well done, as far as I mentioned that she hasn't been built up well. The video package definitely made it seem like she had been built up great, the way they went over her knocking off Natalya, knocking off Shayna Baszler. But when you go to the TVs and you really break it down, like, she's not dominating these people to the point where she's kicking out of finishers. You know, she's taking shortcuts and she's doing this and that. So maybe that could be me over critiquing and this just not being as good as maybe the last couple matches. But this gets 3.5 pop rocks out of me.
I agree. And I totally understand what you're saying, because up until last week, she was a heel. So when she makes the pivot to humanize her story in terms of her upbringing and her mom, okay, there it is. And I think they unlock the puzzle a little bit too late for this match, but it builds towards a future for her to be over as a babyface. And then you can build up her matches in a better way that will have her be dominant, because in the story itself, I got her kicking out of pop rocks 1 and 2 because she's a fighter, because she's from the octagon. Like, that's what she's going to do. You're going to have to beat her decisively. You're going to have to hit your finisher multiple times to put her down. She wasn't going to tap. She wasn't going to take one pop rocks or two. She's going to take 3 or 4 of them things in order for Roxanne to put her down. As you said, if they built up the story a bit better as a baby face, then it would have made a bit more sense. I understood it in the moment, but I totally get what you're saying as well, because now they finally figured it out and now they got to go there and see where she goes on NXT from here. What championship does she vie for next? Will it be another shot at this championship, or will it be the NXT Women's North American title? There are options for her, but I think they have figured her character out. People want to cheer for her. She's a likable. She can cut good promos. She's talented. She's going to really get the hang of this eventually. And maybe that moniker of her being the best hybrid that came from MMA to WWE is going to bear fruit eventually, because you can't put that title on her when we had Ronda Rousey year one walk through that door back in 2018, and especially Shayna Baszler, who's been there for a few years as well, that has established that NXT Women's Championship like Roxanne is right now. So that's a bold disclaimer to put on her. She'll earn that title in time, and it starts now with a renewed babyface push with more experience down the road.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And with that, it's now time to get to our main event of the evening. And this show was zipping on by. We was at the main event before 9 o'clock. I was very happy about that. So we're going to get to Trick Williams defending his NXT championship against Javon Evans, Sean Spears, and All Ego Ethan Page. And, you know, people know how I feel about this match, how it all came together. That we had a battle royal that meant nothing in hindsight, and we had people beat Javon Evans and Trick Williams to shoehorn their way into this match. But you know what? Let's put all of that aside. That's in the past. Let me give props to every guy in this match for delivering big. I've heard the discourse about Sean Spears and Ethan Page. These guys can work. It's undeniable. They're great workers. Put some respect on their names. Would I have loved to see Javon and Trick go out there one-on-one? Yes. Nice peek into the future. I saw the sample size. I dug it. But this was all about Javon Evans. 20 years old. Bright future. I will say, if he is not a champion of some sort in the next calendar year, I am going to have to revoke Shawn Michaels' cooking license, with all due respect. We'll get to the match later, but your early thoughts on what you saw, Scott?
As far as on Evans or just the match itself?
Both for right now. We'll dive into the finish in a bit.
So as far as Evans go, I'll go as far as say I think he's going to be the one to beat Oba. I think he'll be that baby face that just lights it up. I don't see him being world champion, but I definitely could see him taking that North American title off of Oba. I think everything you said is spot on. I think he is one of the best pickups NXT has gotten. Actually, let me rephrase that. WWE has gotten in a long time, especially when it comes to young talent that already knows how to work, is already like what the positions they've put him in where he's been able to excel have been great. Like him being in the main events and then having this type of match, like the pipeline, man. Like that's in the pipeline that NXT has is special, and Evans is the leader of that. Like, as good as Oba is, as young as Oba is, like, Evans is everything. Like, he's ready. Like, he's ready for the spot. He's ready for the moment. He has that exciting the athleticism to him. He's like a Sol Ruka in every way. He is just the athletic freak that she is in every way. It's amazing to watch, like, some of the things he was doing, the cutters, the spinning, just twisting frog splashes from the top ropes, the dives to the outside. He is incredible. Just, he is what Montez Ford could be if they let that man loose.
Oh,
I mean, that's what he is. Like that's exactly what he is. He is what Montez Ford would be if they let that man loose. But I'm blown away by him every time. He's been a treat and a pleasure to watch.
Yes, and speaking of which, Montez Ford singles push Triple H Elimination Chamber was a couple years ago. Can we get back to that, please? Montez Ford singles push, please. Highlight of the match last year, and he's still in a tag team. And I love the tag team, dude. We're wasting prime years here. Get that man on a singles run. I digress. But back to Javon Evans. Incredible. The sky, the bounciness. Like, it ain't a word. It's a thing he does. The height he gets off of Spanish flies and super cutters is insane. A highlight for me was actually an AEW callback when Sammy Guevara flipped the bird to Sean Spears before delivering a cutter, and somebody saw the same playbook and said, let's do that here, calling out my age. Let me say, F you, hit this cutter. Perfect. Loved it. I love Trick Williams for many reasons, but him breaking up pinfalls was a highlight to save his championship, because it was touch and go for a lot of this match. But a dark moment was when he basically murdered Javon Evans by throwing him into the announce table. And Trick was like, I'm sorry, but listen, I'm trying to keep my championship. I got to do what I got to do. He was merciless in that moment, and I kind of dug it.
To be fair, that was in retaliation to when Evans flipped from the over the ring post and put Trick through the barricade on the outside. So, yeah, and that was actually a pretty big theme throughout the story. And I know you said we'll talk about the finish, but all of this played into the theme and then into the finish of Trick breaking up everything Evans was doing. And it ended up him not being able to break up a pinfall on Evans. It's the way the story played out, I thought, was really, really well done. just the way they had built it with, you know, Trick stopping Evans from getting the pinfall to it just being flipped on its head at the end. I thought the story was very well done.
Yes, very intricate. The four-way spots are great. The Tyra Doom spots, very creative as well. Sean Spears, him in that white chair, it put in some work. Javon took a hell of a hit to the back during this match as well. Great swing by him. Ethan Page is great as always. Sean Spears, he was great in this match. Put some respect on Ten's name, okay, people? Like, he was out there, and he was there for every spot. C4 off the top rope to Javon for a near fall as well. But great, it was so good. Like, you thought, like, okay, is Ty Dillinger finally about to have a true NXT TakeOver moment? No, he wasn't going to win. But the end of this match was a delicious callback to something we saw many moons ago. It was John Cena, Randy Orton, Shawn Michaels, and Edge, and a fatal four-way match for the WWE Championship. And we had Trick hit his trick knee on Javon and hit on Shawn Spears and hit on Ego Ethan Page. And then Shawn is going to prevent Trick from breaking up the pin. And that allowed Ego Ethan Page to fall on Javon Evans. 1, 2, 3, to become the new NXT champion. As we predicted, did we predict it was going to happen exactly this way? No, but we predicted a title switch with Ethan winning. And the crowd reaction was so much better than when Solo did the thing to Cody the night before. This wasn't hushed. It was like, oh my God, what was that? Wow. And there was a reaction. And Ethan won, and it was a good pop. And I was surprised, but not surprised, if that makes sense. Very clever finish from the book of Shawn Michaels.
Yeah. Shawn just, I like the way that Shawn pulls a lot of stuff from things that he's been in. And that fatal four-way match was a good example of that, of HBK hitting the sweet chin music, and then him being not able to stop the pin. And like I said, this plays right into the story of the match, which was Trick stopping Evans on at least three occasions of getting a pinfall victory. And then Evans being the one being pinned because Trick wasn't able to stop the pin this time. The story of the match was really good. Shawn Spears being obsessed with Trick not winning the title, and Ego Page just being in the right place at the right time. Trick Williams has an absolute redemption story. We were on Gigi's show on the Money in the Bank post show, and he asked us who we think, you know, will be the bigger star, who could be the bigger star, between Trick and Bron Breakker. And I said Bron pretty confidently at the time. Listening to the reaction that Trick Williams gets every time he's in any type of real arena, listening to the reaction and the way that he's able to get the crowd into the match, and how I think this story is going to go and build him back up to go on and get that title back, because he will win that title back. It's just a matter of whether it's going to be SummerSlam weekend or Stand and Deliver. But there is something special to him, to where I talked about Braun just having this huge advantage because he's going to be such a better wrestler. Trick doesn't need to be a better wrestler. You know, he's got that connection where people are just going to rock and vibe with him as long as he is just good. If he's good, people are going to make him great and put him on a pedestal, and good on him for that, because everybody doesn't have that type of connection. And what he's got is special, because when he came out, his theme music is meant for arenas. It's not meant for that small weekly NXT place, not for the basement. That place is meant for arenas, because when he came out, and you, Death Rebel, man, he got a lot of trash out there. But if you look through the trash, you find a couple gems. Like, I think Evans' theme is pretty dope. I think the bouncy joint is all right. Like, I rock with that. Trick Williams, nice theme. Then you got Ego, trash, just trash. It's like, you just can't get right all the way. I'm going to give this a 4.25. 4.25 flash knees, and really good main event to cap off, like you said, one of the best NXT PLEs they've put on all year, and definitely one of the best since they've changed to the 2.0.
Oh, definitely. Def Rebel, you know, unless it's the Bloodline, it's going to be hits all day. And then he'll occasionally drop a banger and it's great. And you're like, wow, Def Rebel produced that. He wrote that. He arranged that beat. Good for you. Trick Williams, that singular beat, outstanding. That is going to be a trademark of his forever. That
Shout
should
out to
never
Booker T on
be
that
touched.
Too.
Yes, the ad libs by Booker made that theme song iconic. So Def Rebel gets claps and applause for that. His other songs are trash. The new Bron Breakker is trash. That new song is
all right. It's all right.
It's
better than the one before that.
Yes, but it's not him. I do not believe that music defines Bron Breakker.
The first one was the best one he's had.
Yes. Like, why did we change it? Yeah, why did we do that? But I digress. Sure. But yeah, this was a great match.
What do you think about Evans?
I like it too. Like, that's a rare win for Def Rebel as well. You know, he's in tune to today's youth in a way. And that's a blessing. Otherwise,
Sexy did it. Sexy was probably there and was like, yeah, let me do this one. let me just do this one. All right. Let me get it.
Let me just drop a little something on here. Let me try to help you out a little bit. She probably did. But yeah, this is a really good match. I'm satisfied with the conclusion. The rehabilitation of Trick begins now to get this title back. I'm gonna be here for the redemption story. And as you said, we both said on Gigi's show the other night that we thought that Bron Breakker was going to be the more over of the two in the next 5 years or so. I still believe that, but I said it's neck and neck with Trick as well, because Trick just brings something different to the table. Doesn't mean it's going to be less than Bron. I think it's going to be right neck and neck with the two of them. I really do. And that's a good problem to have. And Trick has his natural connection with the crowd, and to be in a match with two seasoned vets and a 20-year-old, and you are holding your own, and technically speaking, you are the least experienced in terms of reps, in terms of in-ring experience. For you to have ring awareness, to be able to be there for every spot, for you to break these pinfalls right on time, for you to add that drama and gravitas to this main event speaks a lot to him to be in this spot, because people shat on this main event in terms of how it was put together. I did as well. It was stupid, but the actual match itself was great. Everyone delivered. And I'm just kind of perturbed by why y'all slandering the name of Sean Spears and Ethan Page. These guys can work. They've worked all over the world. They are established for a reason. They got bags in multiple places for a reason. And when you give them time to cook, they remind you, yes, we're really good professional wrestlers and we can make people shine and make ourselves shine and stand out at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we know why they get trash. It's because they didn't go where people wanted them to, or they had some really bad feuds. Like, a bad feud will leave a bad taste in your mouth, and they've had some bad feuds. Let's not forget Ethan Page has had a feud with himself and decided to engage in Mortal Kombat with himself. I don't know. And then you got Sean Spears, who he's the chairman. What board? Nobody knows, but he's the chairman. So, like I said, it can leave a bad taste in your mouth. But I think they've done a really good job with Sean Spears. I know we've talked about on our show, you haven't been as big of a fan of some of the pinfalls that he's gotten, and that's completely understandable. But I think they've done a good job of really utilizing him as that kind of a veteran presence who gets just enough wins to where the babyface can get his big win back on him. And I think Ethan Page is a guy you build around. I think AEW dropped the ball with him. I think TNA dropped the ball with him to begin with by even letting him go. Like, I think he's a guy that you can literally build around. And I think NXT is the perfect place for him to be. If he never gets called up, which I think he could be a solid mid-card guy on the main roster, but if he never gets called up and stays in NXT, I think he's the perfect top villain, top heel on that roster going forward, moving to the CW. I think he's the perfect foil for Trick Williams. I would let him hold the title and let Trick get a big win back on NXT. That's just me. But because last year it was him and Carmelo at Stand and Deliver, right? No title.
Yes.
Yeah. I would 100% give him his big title victory at Stand and Deliver next year.
Wow. Let's see if they will wait that long. But let's not bury the lead, Scott, because something happened at the very end of this show.
Nobody said it.
Nobody said it. We have to mention it. If you turned off the cock before you saw this final chapter of this wonderful special, as soon as Ethan Page won the championship, we got the watermark trademark going off the air, right? Ethan Page is the champion. And we have Vic Joseph say he's the new face of NXT. We fade not to black, we fade to white. And we see the beautiful platinum blonde face of the one, the only Joe Hendry. And I smiled a big smile because Joe Hendry, who I believe in, by the way, is coming back to NXT. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Joe Hendry and his chart-topping song, theme song, has made it into my children's morning drive. It goes in between, somewhere in between Blippi, excavator song, somewhere in between there, and Post Malone. So somewhere in between.
Wow.
Yeah. Post Malone's country album, obviously.
I was about to say, because I know the toddlers are not listening to hip hop.
Post Malone. They might hear a little wow. No White Iverson or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Whoa. No 92 Explorer, you know what I'm saying? So people talked about, I said what the idea was with him being eliminated super fast and you not getting to see him. They are making you beg to see this man. They are doing everything possible to put just enough of him in front of you till you're like, yo, when is he showing up? Like, when do I get to see him again? He showed up in the Battle Royal. Great reaction. You're like, oh my God, he's this huge deal. I can't wait to see him. And he's gone. Now all you've seen is you see him come out of his face. Like, you're excited. Like, we're excited to see him. People want to see him. He'll probably be trending tomorrow. I think they're doing a great job of making you want to see this man show up on NXT TV. And if you've been watching TNA, you see he had an incredible match this week with Jake something. So I think they're doing a great job of making you want more of Joe Hendry. And yes. I believe as well.
The fact that he's in your rotation in the car is crazy, but it's a catchy song. The video's everything. He's the best. So I'm looking forward to Joe Hendry's next appearance. And I want NXT, if possible, to do a sign and trade. Get him. Sign him to a bag.
Who do you trade, though?
Ooh, let me see. Who can I give up?
Because, I mean, you're talking about TNA giving up their biggest baby face.
Yes, I know. It's hard. Man, who can
give
I
give it a trick?
No, I can't give them trick.
I think it's an easy one. I think you're overthinking it because NXT has a big baby face you could give away. He already pouting and sitting in the corner anyway. Send him Wesley.
There you go. Thank you.
They got a 70 show session waiting for them with the Rascals anyway. So they got a nice session waiting on them.
Yes. You know, Zachary was like, go, babe, go. So, yeah, he can go. Yes. Sign a trade. Yes. I will take Joe Hendry for Wesley. That's an even trade.
No, it's not. You have to send one lady.
Okay, one lady as well. I am going to
send... A man and a woman. I think that's fair for Joe, because Joe's a big deal.
Okay, so we're going to send Wesley, and we're going to also send... Let me be very thoughtful with this choice. I am going to send... I want to say Thea Hale,
Ooh. You'll send her on a little excursion?
Yeah, I want to send her on a little excursion. I want to send her to Jordan Grace so they can have some bangers.
She might be cool with Jordan Grace. I could see her being like being Jordan's little number two for a little while, just kind of following her around. And, you know, that actually could be a lot of fun, especially them like working out in the gym together, yes. Her trying to keep up with Jordan because
yeah.
Jordan's a
beast.
Another freaking Nate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's not bad, Keila. Okay. One man and one woman for Joe Hendry, Wesley and Thea Hale. That's not bad. And you got a nice story of her saying, hey, I got to go. Nice send off. And then when she makes a return, I like that. That's nice.
Yes. And we can do that for 6 months and everybody benefits. And we all win. We get Joe Hendry, a blessing in our lives for 6 months. I need this. So let's make it happen. Fingers crossed. That's but overall, I had my GM hat on and I did some great thinking. I had to really be thoughtful with my choice. It was a tough decision because I wasn't on Centric. Ain't no way. But Wesley ain't got nothing to do. And Thea Hale, she can matriculate from Chase U to TNA and she could come back and she can go for a master's degree. Okay. She'll be right back there and she'll go for higher goals at Chase U 2.0. Yeah.
Her master's degree in gambling. What's she majoring in?
she's majoring in sports betting 101.
Yeah, there it is. That's exactly what she's majoring in. Sports yes. betting 101. That is exactly
how to have the odds swing in your favor 25-1. How can you do that, Thea Hale? How can you bet on yourself without losing?
Listen, we already know Duke Hudson started in the poker ring. Okay, let's not forget this man started in the poker ring hustling, doing it that way. Okay, so if anybody has a problem, it's Duke Hudson. Let's not get that man back on that.
He was the original gambler, and the fact that I actually flashed to Duke Hudson's poker room when he was in the ring tonight speaks volumes of how far he's come from that dumbass gimmick to this gimmick that has been working for him for the last couple of years. He's come a long way since being a poker room hustler.
And Damian was not in that room at the time.
He was not. Thank God. He was unavailable. He was doing other things. And I'm not going to get into that on the show. We'll save that for tomorrow's live stream. But before we go, it is now time to offer our final score on a scale of 1 to 10 perky tiers. So, Scott, your final grade for NXT Heatwave.
Man, I'm going to give this 8 tiers. Really good show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Actually, I'm gonna give it 8.5. I'm gonna give it 8.5 tiers. I really enjoyed this show. No match was bad. I thought the women's match, egregious as it was still pretty cool to watch Roxanne just go crazy at the end with those pop rocks.
Yes.
That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I there was nothing to complain about. The crowd was incredible. They never, like, even when they did something didn't go as planned, they never started booing them or started, you know, just, you know, shitting on the match or anything like that. It was, they tried to get them right back into it and stayed with them the entire time. So also shout out to that crowd, man, because y'all did a great job with everything that went on. So yeah, this was a really, really fun show.
It was. I really enjoyed it as well. Shout out to Toronto. Great host city for Money in the Bank weekend. Money in the Bank was it was a B-minus show. This was an A show, in my opinion. NXT delivered. I think everybody had a point to prove. They're in a big building. They wanted to show out, and they did, and everybody hit. The things that did not hit in the ring, they didn't freak out. They quickly recovered. The crowd mm-hmm. didn't shit on them, as you said. They gave them the space to figure things out, and nothing went off the rails. And that speaks to the confidence level of everybody in the ring to know that, hey, we can fuck up, but we can get right back up and get back on track. Roxanne and Lola's a prime example. Even though it was a little egregious, Roxanne's aggressiveness hitting those pop rocks was everything. She hit them mad as hell. Like, you're going to stay down after pop rocks number 5. So I can respect that. At the end, I'm going to go a little higher on the final grade. I'm going to go 9 out of 10. This was one of the best shows WWE's put on this year. The best NXT adjacent takeover in 4 years. The show was great. And I highly encourage NXT moving forward to do your big shows in these big arenas, because they're not pushing 3,000 tickets. They got close to 10,000 people in this building for that show.
Wow. Did they?
They did. Good crowd, really strong crowd. So if they can be a little bit more adjacent with WWE moving forward, I think that it would be wise of WWE outside of the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. You need to kind of have an NXT show kind of book in a SummerSlam. It's going to be two nights now, unfortunately, but Money in the Bank, definitely have NXT around for that weekend and try to book around that and stick to arenas. Even when they move to Z-Dub in October, they need to move out of the PC sometimes and run arenas, mid-sized at the most. But for your first show on the CW, book a basketball arena.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely go to, definitely do an arena for the first CW show. And you know, I think the UFC, what's the place they went to?
Apex.
I think the Apex is cool every now and then if you want to go there for like a special, like a TV special.
But, yes.
You know, like the Great American Bash, you want to do that for sci-fi? That's cool. I think that's a cool little spot. You could take the sci-fi channel because you're going to sci-fi anyway. So, but as far as, like you said, first CW show, PLEs going forward, big arenas. I think they've earned it. I think they've shown that they can draw the crowd. And I think that they've also shown that they can put on the match quality deserving of the crowd. So, yeah, everything you said was spot on.
Yes, and they deserve it after this show. I think they proved a point like, hey, NXT comes to town for their next PLE in an arena near you. They're going to push probably about close to 10,000 tickets. No doubt about that. But with that, this is a wrap for a very fun show. Very enjoyable NXT Heatwave, I must say. We'll be back live on YouTube later tonight, recapping the highs and lows from WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw. We have a stacked show to talk about, the fallout for Money in the Bank, as we get ready for SummerSlam going down in Cleveland next month. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about that show. But Scott, thank you as always for joining me as we recap the highs and lows, mostly highs, from NXT Heatwave.
Thank you for having me, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Doubt I'll be perky tomorrow for Raw, but I appreciate NXT. This is probably the last show I thought was going to have me feeling like this. But again, shout out to everybody involved, and a lot of love for the brothers and sisters, because there was a lot of color on this show and y'all all showed up and showed out.
Yes, the diversity was everything. The card was extra black and I love that. Mm-hmm. Love the seasoning on the card top to bottom. Love to see it. Impressive. The trust that Shawn Michaels has and his brothers and sisters means a lot. The man is cooking. He deserves that meme tonight. He deserves that meme. He deserves that picture of him being Chef HBK cooking in the lab and delivering a 5-course meal that hit and ended on time. Look at God. Triple H, take tips. I'm just saying, you let your DX brother upstage you to end the weekend. You must respond to SummerSlam.
I agree.
All right. So until tomorrow, for myself and for Perky Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things NXT Heatwave. We'll see you tomorrow live on YouTube, approximately 11:20 p.m. Eastern. You know what to do. Follow and enjoy the show and get the podcast version Tuesday morning, wherever you listen to your podcasts. So until then, take care and bye-bye.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.